Get your trusty Mishnayos Tareis out. And today's Mishnah in Masechet Taharot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is Perek Daled, Mishnah Chet. So, last time we learned, we had all of the various sveikes, which were considered to be, by definition, Tahereis, as opposed to the sveikes we had prior to that, with the Rabbanan were gozer that the sveikos are tame, even to be served as a truma. So the first one we don't discuss here because basically it's part of the whole Masechet Mikvaot. We're going to wait till we get there to see the details about the Suffolk Mayim She'uvim L'mikvah, although we did have a discussion on it today in Bava Basra because it appears in the Rashbam in analyzing what we need the Kurtu for, right? And that which we spoke about when we reviewed yesterday's daf, that the kurtav is the amount that would be chaser kurtav in a mikvah to be nipsa with my pshuvi. So it's still very contemporary for our learning. But the second suffix that we had was the suffix tuma tsofa. Now remember that we've had a machlokas about this idea. Many of the Rishonim hold that suffix tuma tsofa is all tumas maga. And the basis of it is that it says, Kol ha-shoretz ha-shoretz al ha-oretz. Now, the question is, the difference between ha-shoretz, which is mashma anywhere, or al ha-oretz. Does it have to be specifically on land? So most of the Rishonim understand that the limud in Masechet Mazir that talks about this is to be distinguished between the vadai maga. So there's a vadai maga, so then sheretz is like anything else, and it's matani. But if it's a suffix and it's not al ha'aretz, meaning that's that it's floating or it's flying through the air, such as the cases that we had of Zrika, the way that the Rosh understood the whole sugi before, the first Mishnah, in the terms of Zrika, that's called floating tuma. So according to those Rishonim, floating tuma, this is the maxim. Floating tuma doesn't mean floating on water. It could mean floating in the air. And it is not because of the fact that the tuma doesn't have a mokim. It's exeris hakosov because of the fact that the Torah calls it davka al ha'aret. Okay. The other way of learning it is that no, the maximal other way is the Rambam, who says that suffig tuma tsofa is a din specifically about sheretz. Whoa. At least in the, Pirsha Mishnayos, not a general din. And as we saw, there's two completely different ways of understanding the case of the flying tuma where somebody throws it. But that's not necessarily because of tuma tsofa. And the difference between throwing something like the kizayis min ames that was in the mouth of an orev, which is also flying through the sky, or something which is tsofa that is not mitami ba'oyel, is that an ohel is by definition a place. That's why it's called tumas ohel. And therefore, it is, in terms of placement, choshev. Masha'enkein, if the basis is not placement, but rather the gzeres hakosev of al ha'oretz, asheretz, asheretz, al ha'oretz, the difference between kizayis min ha'met is obvious. The pasuk was only talking about tumas maga, because it was in reference to sheretz. And if you're talking about kizayis min ha'met, which is metame through radiation, as an O, by being above something, and radiates down onto it, that's not included in a pasuk that's gzeres hakosuk by sheretz. Fine. So we now want to explain what we meant by that suffix tuma tsofa. So suffix tuma tsofa al pnei ha'mayim. Now it doesn't matter where that water is, according to the Tanakhama. It might be on the ground, a swimming pool, maybe it's a barrel of water, whatever it is. Bein bekelim, bein bekarka, since it's not directly walking on the ground, it's not sure it's al ha'aretz. Because of that, it's exeris hakosuv that it would be taught. Rabbi Shimon Haimer, now, wait a minute. If there's a suffix tuma about tuma that's tsofa in kelim, that's not called tuma tsofa, because after all, the kli is on the ground, isn't it? So because of that, the fact is that the tuma in this case is batal also to the kli, which is on the ground. And therefore, it is considered to be on the ground, and you'd have to be machmer on it. So because of that, we don't say that it's, by definition, it's going to be tahor. And maybe it would depend on whether it's in Rishus HaRabim or Rishus HaYochid. Suffolk tuma would normally, if it's Rishus HaYochid, would be tummy. It's only if it's in water that itself is on the ground. So there, it's not on the Eretz, it's in the water. It's not in a kli. And there, it would be called Tumat Safa. That's the first machlokas. Rabbi Yehuda says there's other issues. First of all of these dinim, where we're going to say that even if it's a gzeres hakosav, that there's a kula in its safek, that's only, as we saw earlier, when we were talking about safek tumah b'rishus HaRabim, b'rishus HaYochid, that's only in the event that the safek is shakul. It's an even safek. It's not that it's more reasonable one way than the other. So you have to analyze the situation over here. Let's say a guy is walking into a mikveh, you know, and there's a sheretz that's found there. So there, when a person starts to go into something, and now he's going to wash in there, he's going to dive in there. So what happens is that he always creates a negative pressure on things by going into the water, which is going to draw anything that's in the water on the surface. It's going to make ripples that pull it to him. And therefore, it's more likely that he touched it. So if it was Suffolk Yeridasa, he's diving into the water, so then it's probably he touched it. And therefore, it's not an even Suffolk, so there it would be tummy. But he's coming out of the water, and therefore he's causing things to run away from himself. So then it's tahor, because it's more likely that it actually didn't touch him. So basically, this special halacha is said where things are reasonable in both directions. Rabbi Yossi says, all of you guys are wrong. Afilu ein sham ema melo adam v'tum'ah tahor. Rabbi Yossi learns that the din of al ha'aretz, and there's actually a machlokas rishonim, how to understand what Rabbi Yossi holds. Does he hold that bichlal? There's no such thing as a tuma that would be tzafa, and that the Torah is not saying suffik tuma tzafa. The Torah is saying tuma tzafa is not metame. That's how some learn the pshat over here. And that is the way, actually, the Rush learns that Rabbi Yossi holds bichlal. There's no such thing as tuma on tuma tzafa. The Rambam learns that there's no such thing as tumas suffik on tuma tzafa, but there certainly is a tuma of vadai. If you saw that the person touched the tuma, of course it would be tummy. Rabbi Yossi is only coming to say, if you didn't actually see the negia, so then it's a suffik, and it doesn't have to be even. It doesn't, even if it's highly unlikely that this person could have been here, there's almost room for nothing else but this guy and the sheretz, he's still going to be tahar, unless we know for a fact that there was negia. And that, according to this, the sfora would be the contradiction of ach mayan boru mikveh mayim yiye tahor, mashma, that anything that's on the mayim is mamish tahor. And on the other hand, it says nogeh benivlatam yitma. So therefore we say, okay, if it's in the karka, it's tahor. If it's in the kli, it's tamei. And that would be the real reason of Rabbi Shimon. Okay, I mean, there's a lot of issues here about how to deal. If you're going to learn like the Rosh, how do you deal with the Gemara and Nos here, the contrast of Zelachem HaTamei B'Sheretz HaSheretz Ala Aretz, and the contradiction there, the Gemara says Sheretz HaSheretz is anywhere, and Ala Aretz is only Ala Aretz. And we answer Vadai Mago versus Safik Mago. So according to the Rosh, what does Rabbi Yossi do with the Limut? Not clear. Okay, Mishnah, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Tet. The next thing that we had, actually we had two separate Mishnayos after that. because of the fact that we have two separate cases, which are bound up in one. So what we said was that if we have a suffix of mayim or liquids, any of the mashkin, so a suffix of mashkin litame, if it itself was going to become tame, so then we said that the suffix is tame. But if it's a suffix of mashkin litame, to be metame other things, then it's considered to be tahor. So basically, the assumption of the difference is, as we said before, where the basis of a suffix is a tumah d'oraisa. So over there, we're machmir, because of the general suffix tumah, or suffix d'oraisa, rather, is always lahachmir. But since the din of mashkim tmeim being metame other things is a drabanan, so it's a suffix drabanan lakula. Now that itself is a machlokas of the Gemara and Pesachim, and therefore, we're going to see over here as we go through the Mishnah that there are actually different shitas about what mashkin is metame midiraisa. So let's start with the first one. Suffix mashkin li tame, which is lihit tame, to become tame on their own. This is with a chirik under the lamed, as opposed to a shva under the lamed. So suffek mashkin li tame, which is the equivalent of lehi tame. Where did we have this lashon? Vayishma atakol midaber elav. Remember, and that we learned out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was kavayochol mitaber, talking to himself, and that way you overhear it, which is a lashon kovet shemayla. And we also were derish other beautiful things from there, where Sifurno learns, but in any event, it's the same lashon. So therefore, what would be a case? Well, let's say you've got somebody who's tamei, and he's got a lot of different mashkim that are, he's out there on the beach, he's got a lot of different mashkim that he's going to be drinking, and he stretches out his foot, and he doesn't remember, did he actually touch those mashkim, and maybe if he did, what did he touch in his mashkin? And he doesn't know. So therefore, if he touched them for sure, they would be tamei. But if not, they're tar. Well, in this case, it would be a suffix that would be tamei, if it's in a makom where the suffix is tamei, at least according to most of the Mishnah Mefarshim. Let's say that if you are holding a kika, which is tamei, and you take this kikar, which is tameh, and you just threw it. Now, it wasn't touching anything when you threw it, because then we would be getting to the other issue of tumah that was zruka, and would be the equivalent of tzofa, according to the Rosh, or would be this nu halacha, according to the Rav. But in any event, it means over here it landed. But he doesn't know where it landed. And he's not sure if it was suffik naga, suffik lo naga. So the question is, did that kikar that was tame, did it make any of these mashkin to me? So there are two. The question is, did the mashkin become tame? Become tame? Sveko tame. What about litame, which is where we said suffik mashkin litame is tahar? I'm going to give you an example of that. Let's say, Haita makel biyodon, uvrosha mashkin tmeim. So let's say you've got some mashkin tmeim in a container. You throw that, and it landed somewhere, lebein kikarot tahorim, and you're not sure whether the tamei liquid inside of your container, in this case, the container was even, if you were walking along with a walking stick, and there's room at the bottom of the walking stick so that it's concave and stuff got into it, some water that was tame on the ground. So he's not sure whether that water, it's a tiny bit of water, whether it touched the kikrot when it landed or not. Suffik naga, suffik lo naga. The halacha over there is that its suffik is tahor, because this is a suffik of mashkin, actually to be metame acherim. And therefore, again, we're not talking about while it was in the air, because that would involve us in the tuma zruka that we had before. So in this case, since mashkin, tameim or metamim only midrabanan, so because of that, it would be tahor. Tahor. Again, I just want to stress that many of the mefarshim hold that it doesn't mean that there's a new din of sfeiko tameh. it means that the din is that it is now part of the normal halachas that in a rishus hayochid, it would be a regular suffik tuma. It doesn't mean that it's a gzeir, that it will be tamek, which makes a lot of sense, right? Okay. Now we move on to Perek Revi, Mishnah Yud. Okay. So we saw before that apparently the nafkamina between Suffolk Mashkin Litame and Suffolk Mashkin Litame is that Mashkin could be Makabal Tuma Midiraisa, but they're not Netame except Midirabana. And not everybody holds that. Rabbi Yossi Omer, a Suffolk Mashkin that maybe they were Metame other things, it depends what those things are. Because he holds that Mashkin are Metame Euchlin Midiraisa. So therefore, if what we don't know is the case in the previous Mishnah, the Benaki Karod, which is food, there it has the normal din of Suffolk Tumer Bershah Sayach, because according to him, this depends how we darshan Mikola Ochel Asher Yachel, how we darshan the psukim there. So that's the Gemara Mitzachim. According to Rabbi Yossi, Mashkin is Metame Euchlin. But Mashkin cannot be Metame Kalim. So therefore, where it's a Suffolk La'ochlin, it's Tame. Where it's a Suffolk that has to do with Kalim, so then, in a Hinani, it would be Tar. According to which, Ketzah, so let's say you've got two barrels, one of which was Tame and one of which was Tar, and these are barrels of water, not of wine. I mean, not that it matters, but the case is that you made dough out of it. You don't usually make dough out of wine barrels. So Asa Isameachat Mehen, and he doesn't remember which barrel did he use to make the dough for his bread. Suffolk ben Hatmiyah, Suffolk ben Hataras. We don't know which one he used. So in this case, the question is, he now made the dough and put it into an areva, where you mix the dough. So therefore, this would be the Suffolk Mashkin, which as far as the dough is concerned, is Tamei. But as far as the Areva is concerned, is Tar, because the Areva, of course, is a Kli, and Mashkin are not Metame Kalim. Okay, so it turns out over here, we have the Machlokas, which is dependent on this special din of what the Nafkamina is between Mashkin Litame and Mashkin Litame Acherim. Of course, Min Rabbonan, it can be Metame, we have seen many times that there's a gzera of Mashkin Min Rabbonan, and because of that we made that funny halacha, it's only Metame. If the outside became Tame, then the inside didn't become Tame. Fine, he's not talking about that. He's just saying that it's going to be Torah because it's only a Suffolk to Rabbonan, and there weren't gzera in this Mokum of Suffolk. Okay, Rabbosai, lovely. So we're moving ahead here. We've managed now three of the cases that we talked about in the Mishnah, and we'll be getting to Mikvaot as we go along. Mitraot. Have a wonderful day. And Bsirot Tovot.